Welcome to another pre-round two COVID return special, Marcus. And this week we're joined by two return special guests, Dunny and Bryce. First of all, welcome back, Dunny. Yeah, how have you been over the last couple of months, mate?
As I sort of mentioned to you guys off air, it's been really weird. It's been not a lot of pressure and worrying about my team each week and things like that, but it's also been horrible without the footy. But we're surviving well here, mate, and just can't wait to watch some footy next week.
Good to hear. We've only got, I think now, less than a week at time of recording, so certainly getting into crunch time. But as we've discussed off air as well, it's also hard to give very concrete advice without seeing some of these team sheets dropping. But I'm sure we're going to get some sage advice and some great numbers and some stats and some understanding of how price movements work as well from our main man, Bryce. Welcome back to you, mate.
G'day. It feels like it's almost been a year since I've been on the podcast with the pre-season and a bit of a break. But, yeah, it's good to be back. It's I guess it's also been good to have a little bit of a break from fantasy sports. Although we love it so much, it's nice to build up some browning points with the family and the kids and then get straight back into it in about a week's time.
I know, Bryce, you normally have fantasy sport ticking over most of the year with some sort of off-season stuff when the AFL's down. What did you sort of keep busy with? Did you find anything wacky to keep keep you entertained fantasy-wise?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I guess as soon as the AFL season finished, the English Premier League was already going, so I continued a little bit with that. I've never watched a game, but keen on the numbers and the strategy behind that. And that's had a bit of a pause as well, but doing okay considering I've never watched a game. I've dabbled in a bit of racing, Supercoach, a fair bit of BBL. Ended up finishing 86 out of 74K with BBL Supercoach, so that was probably my best result for that. And finished sixth also in a BBL comp run by Dream 11, so got a prize for that, so that was nice. Also did some women's T20 World Cup, did some marble racing, and continued the racing Supercoach. So it hasn't all been a break, but, keen to get back into the real stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Well, the community will be glad to hear your analytical mind has been kept sharp while with other fantasy sports, ready for AFL season. So good off-season there from you, Bryce. Let's jump into a round one review and just start off by recapping on how you gents did and to any thing you're happy or concerned about heading into round two. Maybe throw over to yourself first, Dunny.
Yeah, I don't know if I had a great round one, but I ended up with 2,147. I can't even remember if that was good or bad. It's been that long. look, I was happy with some parts of my team, starting ruck combination of Grundy, and I was another one who went with Naismith, so I was really happy with that. Pretty happy with some of the other picks that I've made. Tommy Mitchell, Cripper did okay. And now, given the way the draw's gone, very happy that I started with Dangerfield. So looking forward to seeing what he's going to do down at the Cattery all year. Probably not as excited as you will be, Marcus. But anyway, I'm really happy that there's a lot of trades in round one because, like yourself and Mark were talking about last week, I'm looking forward to getting rid of some of the poor selections I made. Like I did get stricken with the Zerk Thatcher and Cumming and Kavara. And I've also got Tom Green there that I need to worry about as well. But overall, pretty happy with the structure.
Only heard rookie names there, Dunny, which is a pretty good sign there.
I did get hurt a little bit with Andrew Brayshaw, but I'm sort of writing that off a bit due to the injury that he apparently had. Oh, and also got stuck with the old Dylan Roberton, but I'm trying to just put that out of my mind as well. So, but I'm happy with the rest of the team.
Nice one. How about yourself, Bryce? How'd you go in round one?
I actually had to open the app to see what I scored because I've been focused on other things with the, how the new pricing will work. So wasn't too concerned the last 6 weeks, but certainly forgot about round one. But it looks like I just got pipped by Dunny by about 8 points, scored a 21.39, which put me into around 31K. Yeah, not that concern with the ranking at this point is just getting the structure right. But reasonably happy with the team overall. I started Doherty like most people, but generally in the back line, it was hard to actually get anyone good. So I ended up with Sicily and Houston, which went okay, but most of the guys back there went okay. Robertson with 26. In the midfield, I had Danger like Dunny. Didn't do too well in round one, but I'm looking forward to that draw. Kelly, Cripps and Fife were okay. Bont, I'm having a little bit of a think about what I'm going to do with him and his cash. Started the ruck combo of Grundy, Naismith, the same as Dunny and you boys as well, I think. And fourth the forward and line. Yeah, and the forward line, I guess, was the place I was most happy with. So I started with the combo of Whitfield, Dusty, Petrarca and Devin Smith, who all scored over 100. And then I had a couple of rookies in F5 and F6 who did okay. So I had Taylor who scored around 80, I think. So reasonably okay with the structure. So looking to just do a bit of rookie updates with the five trades that we have.
Yeah, nice one. All right. Well, in terms of topics for this week's show, we're going to have a bit of a discussion on how you gents are intending to use your trades and any sort of broad trade advice for our listeners. And then get some insight from you, Bryce, in terms of price changes, how they work. I know there's price movements after just 2 weeks. You know, what does that mean? And then talk a little bit about the change in scoring. So that's something that Mark and I didn't really get time to discuss in the first show back. Really keen to hear your gents' thoughts on what you observed from round one and anything that you're sort of considering in terms of your round two trades. Are you thinking about potentially bringing in more rucks or looking at more of those contested beasts and so on? So why don't we start off with the five trades and your approach? So I won't sort of comment on this one because Mark and I shared our thoughts on the podcast last week, but keen to get your general advice for the community and your approach on how you're going to tackle these five trades. Who can I put on the spot first?
I'll take it, Marcus. That's fine. So last week I did hear yourself and Mark talking about your trades and the way you're planning to do things. And I know I'm traditionally probably the more conservative of the group in terms of the way that I play the game. But this year I'm going all out attack, given the shortened season, given the number of trades. And as you guys said last week, you know, if you trade every trade from now to the end of the season, it's really only about 2 weeks that you'd be without trades. So with the shortened season, there's just simply no time to waste sitting on players and waiting. For me, it's, you know, we can't wait for those rookies to absolutely reach their peak and milk every single dollar out of them, because if you wait for that, you won't have time to get those points from the players that you would have brought in. So for me, it's really attack from the start. So I'm going to be fairly aggressive with my trading strategy. But having said that, my main focus for these five trades is just fixing up any of the issues that I had in round one. That's jumping off a couple of the rookies that were no good and bringing in rookies that are actually going to be playing, because we know that a lot of the guys who played round one may not make it through to round two. And I'm thinking of guys like Tom Green, Ben Kavara, Cumming maybe may struggle to get a game potentially. So those sorts of guys worry me a bit. But the other moves, such as like the trading down someone like a Bontempelli, who I have down to a Jack Viney, who's going to skyrocket in value, those are the sort of moves that we need to look at, I think, to generate that cash, because we just don't have the 22 weeks of the season. And we can't wait until, say, round 15 to have that, you know, fully completed team. We need to sort of get there as quick as we can. So that's sort of my strategy. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty similar to what we were talking about. So definitely agree with what you're saying there. I mean, you have definitely a few rookies that you flagged there, Dunny, that might cause some concern. But I know that, you know, in terms of planning for the actual trades, you're going to have to see what happens with team sheets. Let's say things go really well and a lot of your rookies end up being named. Are you sort of planning for any crazy sort of aggressive or risky or interesting trades in the event that you get sort of a little bit more opportunity to do that because your rookies are all playing and the rest of your team looks fine?
Yeah, look, for me, it'll be depending on who does get named. Like, and I'm prepared to jump on someone like, say, Will Gould, if he gets named for Sydney, just for that pure value and trying to generate, you know, go down from, say, a Robertson at 260. Down to a Gould who is, I can't think of his price off the top of my head, but I know he's certainly less than that. and use that cash to upgrade someone like a Cumming. I'd like to try and get Howe in for Cumming at some point. Similarly, looking at someone like, say, if I've got the cash and I can do, an Andrew Brayshaw up to, you know, a premium player, I'd certainly look at doing that as well. So, but Bontempelli to Viney is one that I'm considering, which are like, you know, most of the competition are, and I know you guys talked about last week. But absolutely, all those sorts of moves are on the table. If a player looks like they're going to plummet in value, well, there's no point holding them because you can't afford to wait for them to come back up again if they're, you know, a guy that you can cash into to help your team not only in dollars but also in points straight away.
So the reverse changes button's getting a bit of a workout then, Dunny?
Absolutely, mate. I've got a number of screenshots and lots of notes of, oh, if I do this, then I can do that. but really, as you said, the key to this week is just waiting to see who gets named. It's not like a normal season where we think, well, yeah, he had a good game last week, so he'll play again this week. You know, with all these guys coming back, like a Callum Ward is someone that definitely considering for my midfield. If, you know, if he does get named, I can make a few flips there and try and get him in because I know he presents a lot of value and we were looking at him in the preseason as well. So it's really about those team sheets. It's just so critical this week to work around those.
Yeah, I like your suggestion, though, of taking screenshots. I've not done that myself. I've just tried a few things and just reversed the trades, but I'm going to be working on the fly on the day without sort of any of these potential trade combinations set aside. So I actually really like that idea. I'm going to steal that, Dunny. Actually lock in a few of those combinations and go, you know, obviously still allow for flexibility around that. But, yeah, you know, have a few sort of key, hey, well, if this happens, this is kind of the way I'd structure up. Or if this rookie goes out, this is what I do instead and so on. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, part of what I was doing was looking at if, you know, for example, if this guy does get named and this one doesn't, well, who can I flip from the defense to the forward so that I can bring in this? It's just looking at what sort of combinations are available. But you're right, everything has to be done on the fly this week, really.
Well, and I guess it's interesting too because we've got five trades. Normally when you just have two, you know, like, yeah, there's one guy who's a bit more expensive, one guy that's cheaper, you might be able to get two mid prices. Like it's a bit easier to work out. But with five different trades, there's actually so many different permutations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Bryce, you have any advice on how to manage this trade period, mate?
I guess my approach isn't too different to what you guys have mentioned already. I guess because the season is fairly short, the importance around generating fast cash is more important this season. So a lot of my trades and trade strategies is focused around that, around, I guess, correcting rookies. So if some don't end up playing, then I'd be looking to bring in guys that are on the bubble to make some quick cash. I'm probably not looking to trade guys that are playing, such as a Roberton to someone that's playing their first game. I'm going to just focus mainly on the dead rookies and get the guys that are going to increase in price this week. But I guess also having in mind how many of the first gamers I might want to trade in the next round so that I can bring them in as well. I guess if they're all playing, that makes it a little bit trickier, and I might be moving on guys that are playing. One of the things I'm looking to do is redistribute some cash, which might be caught up in more expensive players like Bontempelli, as a way to get to higher priced rookies like a Bewley or a Fort or a Long or a Townsend, who might generate a quick 100 to 150K in a few weeks. And then I can move them on quicker. With the lower end rookies, they take a little bit of time to appreciate in cash. So you're not looking to trade them out until rounds kind of five and beyond. So my focus is to set myself up to trade guys to make cash as soon as round three and four. So I am considering players like Howe and Viney as cash generators. If they're not, I guess, a low-end, cheap primo that I'm going to keep for the season. So I'm just playing around with a few of those concepts, all in conjunction with getting rid of more expensive rookies like BZT and Roberton to try and get some cash to distribute to other guys that are going to make money and Tom Green. So, yeah, playing around with a lot of concepts, but the main thing is about generating fast cash. But I don't have the screenshot model like you boys have. Of course, I've got a spreadsheet, so I'm saving all of those combinations to the side so that I can refer back to them if I need to.
Nice one. Yeah, a spreadsheet definitely is a good way of doing quick sums of all those five permutations. So I like that. A really interesting idea that you brought up there, thinking about trading in guys that are more ready to trade out early days. If you have, just rookies in your team, you're going to be trading out, forced to trade out rookies before they're essentially ready in a model where you're, forcing yourself to trade in round four, where you might normally not want to do that in a traditional year of Supercoach. So very interesting approach. And you almost have to commit to taking some players that have less value longer term. So, Howe and Viney compared to a rookie won't appreciate as much in cash, but you're taking them because they still potentially have 100K to increase. But in the meanwhile, they'll be scoring a good amount of points for your team because you can't really sacrifice, bringing in a whole bunch of rookies and leaving a lot of cash on your pine in a year where the season's so condensed. You're trying to strike this weird combination of scoring points really quickly, but also setting yourself up with a team that has exit points at different rounds. So, there'll be some interesting mid prices that come into play that normally you wouldn't really have a bar of. Very interesting to see how that'll actually play out and how aggressive the overall Supercoach community is at attacking that. I think that's one of the interesting things for sure. I think teams will be a lot more different in 2020 than in a normal season of Supercoach.
And I think the five trade strategy in this round has to keep in mind what you're planning to do across the season. So I guess if you're looking to get guys like Howe and Viney in at the low price, are they the best ones at this time to take, or are there going to be other opportunities to get lower price primos down the track? So you might get a Bontempelli after he's had a couple of tag games and get him at a cheaper price. So there might be other ways to actually get lower end primos into your side, and it might not be this round. It might actually be when they've had two bad games in a row and three price drops that involve those low scores. You might get a Bontempelli at a much cheaper price later in the season. And I think that it seems like we're not going to be able to generate as much cash this season. The rookies are lower scoring. There seems to be a higher variance in scoring, which means that higher players are scoring more and the lower end, which are the rookies, are scoring like 20s and 30s. It doesn't seem like anything we've seen before. So it's actually going to be hard for any of these guys to generate much cash over 100 in some cases. So, my approach this round is going to consider how tough it's going to be in future rounds as well.
All right. Well, why don't we talk about price changes next? Because we haven't really discussed that in too much detail on the podcast so far this year, actually, beyond really mentioning that prices change after only two rounds. So you get faster price momentum this season, and that tends to hold, although it sort of diminishes the more price movements a player has. Bryce, could you please enlighten us a little bit in terms of how it works? I know you've looked into the machinations a little bit more. Can you talk us through the science of it all, mate?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the difference between this year and last year is that prices change after after two games rather than three, but it still uses a three-game rolling average. And so for the price changes for this round, it will use the round one score, the round two score, and the priced at average score. So, for example, we have a Tyler Brown who's priced at 123K. In order to calculate his price rise, it'll use his round one score of 64 and say he scores round 64 and round two as well. The third score that'll be used is his price at average, which is 24. So you'll actually get a reasonable price rise to start there, so 36K. The next price rise is a big one. So if he scores another 64, he'll rise another 45K. And by his third price rise, he's made 114K. So it doesn't take long for them to reach the 100K, but it actually takes them another three rounds to reach ideal point, which is 150K. And I think you mentioned, Marcus, that the old style actually catches up a lot quicker. So according to the 2019 price model, after three games, they still rise 87K in comparison to 106. So not that far behind. And then after six price rises, there's only a difference of 7K. So the real acceleration of the price rise is in the first few rounds. And so you might have an ability to get rookies in and out fairly quickly, but not try and get that ideal amount of the 150K. Hopefully some of that made sense.
It's really interesting, I think, especially once we get into the season where people will be considering rookies after they've had one price rise. You know, that comes up a little bit. All the rookies that are basement price don't look so good. So you look at a player that's 166 instead, compared to a player that is a fair bit cheaper. You're really wanting to get the benefit of, you know, those first two or three price movements as quickly as you can, rather than bring in the player that's already had one of those, its first price movement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the ideal rookie is scoring 60s, and that gets him from about 123K up to just under 300K, and then that allows us to go one up, one down, get a primo, which is around the 500K mark, and get a new rookie in. We might not be able to do that with every one up, one down, and so we might need to be looking to sacrifice for a lower-end primo around the 450K, which might be okay for forward and defender rookies, but it's going to be really challenging to get those real high-end midfield primos. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch, and I think after this week and when we see rookies be named, we're going to have to do some quick thinking to work out which ones are going to be most suited to our side. And one thing I was thinking about, Marcus, is that upgrade kind of cadence. Once you get into it, you want to be trying to upgrade every round. It'd be interesting to see how soon we can actually do that if you set your team up to do some fast cash generation. I know you're pretty keen on that upgrade cadence.
And I guess making sure that you have enough cash generation fast enough to maintain that. And we won't have the benefit of having the three trades in one that we get in the buys that tends to help us finish the team with a flourish. So, yeah, that's definitely a good point. We have to be a lot more aware of maintaining that cash generation, not just for 1 week, but for multiple weeks on end. So a lot of value hunting, I'm sure, to be had this year. Dunny, how about yourself, mate? What are your thoughts around sort of price changes and the changes this year and how it might influence your strategy?
As Bryce was saying, yeah, it certainly evens itself out in the long term. I just want to pick up on a couple of points that yourself and Bryce made there. One of them was getting that cadence of trading going and that upgrade cadence is going to be more difficult, I think, if we go through the traditional method of picking a basement rookie each time and waiting for them to appreciate is not something we're going to be able to do. We're not going to have that luxury. Last week, yourself and Mark talked a little bit about the use of step ladders or stepping stones, as a lot of people put that theory. Something we generally don't like to do as a plan, but this year we're going to have to look at those sorts of things to get that fast cash generation, because it's just too hard to wait these guys out. And I know traditionally Mark is very much against that plan, I think. And it was interesting to hear him say that, you know, he's looking at that this time around. So
could you see yourself potentially, you know, like trading in a mid-pricer after, you know, week four or five for a couple of rookies? Do you think we'd get as extreme as that, Dunny?
I think, yeah, we've got to look at the guys a little bit more than we ordinarily would. But, you know, we don't need to throw everything that we've learned over the last however many years out the window. I think what we need to look at is just that value. And I think, you know, everyone looking at guys like Howe and Viney this week are looking at it and saying, well, this guy's got with the score that he had in round one and the price that he represents, he's going to have that explosion of cash generation over 2 or 3 weeks. And then looking to turn those guys over on a regular basis to get to those super premiums. Because as Bryce said, it's going to be very hard to get to the top price premiums really quickly this season. And probably the other thing that, once again, I think Bryce mentioned a little bit earlier was the rookie prices look like they're not going to be quite as strong in these shortened quarters. So with the shortened game, they're not scoring as heavily, and some of the premium guys are going to be doing that. So that distribution of points of the 3,300 points is going to be probably a little bit differently weighted this year, I think. And part of that is something that I did notice a little bit in the first round, and I think it's going to get more pronounced as we go, and that is the guys who are in the engine room getting, you know, the real inside mid guys, they're not going to have as long off the ground or as long resting up forward or something like that, just for the simple fact the quarters are shorter and they can go harder for longer. So those super premium guys are going to be even more valuable to have. And the guys who sometimes play a bit of a role in the midfield and say, well, you know, they might go in there while the key guy's having a rest, they're not going to get that time in the midfield. So I think that spread of points is going to get a little bit longer in terms of the lower guys won't get as much and the higher guys will take a little bit more of the pie. That's just what I've observed so far and what I think is going to happen. Be interested in your thoughts on that as to whether you think that's the trend we'll see this season.
I really like that idea, Donny. I'd never really connected that, that really the time that's been taken out of the game is really coming off the rest time that the best players would have rather than now having to suit up the B grade. It's not like, you know, everyone lost an equal amount of time. It's like, no, we'll just play the stars now.
Yeah.
And we'll have guys stuck on the bench for longer. And then if what you're then doing is scaling those points up, you're right. You're going to get sort of a depression for the guys who are getting less opportunity and an inflation of the guys who now don't have to be rested that you would ideally, if they could just run all day, if everyone was, if, you know, Dangerfield was like Gaff, you'd have him on ground all the time. Well, when you're playing 3 minutes less, you can maybe do that.
Yeah, well, I think in round one, if my memory does serve, and as I said, it's been a very long time, I remember in the commentary they were commenting on in the last quarter, I think it was, Fife just did not leave the ground of that game because it was so tight. He was, you know, gassed, but he was still able to keep going because he knew it was only a 16-minute quarter, not a 20-minute quarter. And when the game's on the line, they're going to want those guys on, you know, in that midfield. So
it might actually hurt, you know, the Brayshaw types, right? He's a guy who's looking to move into the midfield. Well, the less midfield minutes potentially up on offer if you know, Fife is now not leaving there at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
I think maybe it gives a greater argument for some of those mid-price guys, which are actually game-breaking important players in the side, that they're actually going to spend more time there and therefore have more opportunities to score points. So you might have someone such as a Dylan Roberton or a Tom Doudet who are kind of at the mid-price level. They're not the guys that they're going to take off the ground because they need to get their stars on. They want those more experienced, important players on the ground and therefore more likely to score points and therefore increase in price. So I think those kind of stepping stone guys are going to be more valuable than a Brayshaw type, which might get pushed to the side when the star players need to play a role. So there may be some arguments there to actually hold Robinson to see how his role might change for round two. I know he scored 26 in the first round. One important thing to note is if he happened to score 60 in the next game, he would only lose 5K, so you're not going to lose much money if you have another look at him. His price might start to fall after that, but to have that extra look at him to see whether his scoring and his role and importance in that team might actually lead to better scoring and he might meet the expectations that we had of him at the start of the season.
Thank you, gents, for sharing your thoughts. There's so much that we can spend the time talking on at the moment. I think I saw the guys on the AFL website, the traders or the Dream Team Talk guys. We've been doing it for ages, and they were sort of saying if they had the time, they could podcast for absolute hours at the moment. It certainly feels that way. So very much appreciate your time, your thoughts, and all your support and advice for the community, not just on the podcast, but in what you do on Twitter and in the Supercoach articles. I know, Donny, you've done a couple of pieces in the return to COVID on the Herald Sun websites. So, yeah, thanks, gents. Is there anything that you want to finish on, Bryce?
Not really. I guess we've got five trades. It'd be quite easy to just sideways trade with all five trades, but I guess advise to think about every trade and how it aids and improves your side, either through getting points on your field or setting yourself up for better cash generation. So look to get improvement into your team, both with the trade outs and the trade in, and every one of those should be improving your team in some way.
Awesome. Thanks, mate. And Dunny, any final words of wisdom from you, mate?
Mate, the only thing I would add would be completely 100% agree with what Bryce just said. Don't just trade for the sake of it. Look to see where you can improve your side. But if you're traditionally a fairly conservative player like myself, this is the year to just go all out, have a crack at it, be aggressive. You know, it's a short season, so don't muck around. Have lots of fun, and thank God footy's back and Supercoach is back.
Thank God indeed. Thank you, gents, for another cracking effort.
Can't wait to trade like crazy.
Well, best of luck for post-team sheets. I'm sure there'll be some flurry of messages in our Twitter chat as we figure out what we do once they are revealed. We'll see you post-round two, I suppose. Woo.
It's been a long time coming.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye for now. Don't want